Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Tom Donnan. He is a great friend of this ministry. He's been on several times, and every time Tom comes on, you never know where the conversation's going to go. It's just chock full of information, and we get along so well. It's like two peas in a pod. Praise the Lord. But today, we're going to be talking about convergence of end-time signs that you see in the news today. We started yesterday. We're going to continue this conversation today, and we're going to jump off with the Space Force, this new thing that has just taken place. So let's jump right back into the interview with Tom Donnan. The convergences are—they're happening more rapidly on a more severe basis. I mean, that's what we're seeing. You know, if all this continues to happen, we're probably going to have to move to Mars or something. You know, maybe that's why we're starting the U.S. Space Force and trying to get to Mars. You been following any of that?
Oh man, yeah. I was surprised when I heard them talk about it being the sixth branch of the armed forces. No, I had to go back and did I hear that? You know? And so I went back a couple of times and I thought, yes, that's the sixth branch. I don't know. It just didn't hit me until I was going through this article, you know. And so I was absolutely stunned at the things that they want to do. And it's kind of great that they're doing it because, of course, it's progress. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff that's happening down here on our planet, but they are moving towards the stars. Now, the fascinating part is that they actually want to have a space station that goes around the moon. Have you heard that?
I seen something on that. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, they're talking about the modular stuff. You know, and so what they do is they create a module, they put it on a rocket, they shoot it up there.
Kind of like the space station that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now they want to make one for around the moon, because then once they get an established colony there, you know, or a station there, especially on the surface, then what they're going to do is that use it for a launching point for people to go to Mars. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? Mm.
Well, you know, it would make sense, because you could send up the parts piece by piece and, like I said, fit them together, you know, because, I mean, that's what they've been doing with the space shuttle, with that robotic arm and all that stuff, piecing together the space station and hooking it all up. So they've had plenty of practice at doing that. I don't know how they would get the fuel up there, but I suppose, you know, it'd be the same thing, like contained in a module. But, yeah, and since they've already escaped Earth's gravity with this stuff, you know, once they launch that rocket towards Mars, they don't have to expend as much fuel to get to Mars. So the fuel they contain would not be used to escape Earth's gravity. I could see how that would work, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have to make sure that all the technical issues, you know, how I remember watching, I'm going to age myself now. I remember watching when they were testing the Mercury rockets, right? This is like you had Mercury, Gemini, then Apollo. So I'm talking way back in the beginning,
right? Okay.
And, they wanted to show off the technological advances and stuff that the United States was making in space. And they had all the press come out for this big test firing of the first Mercury rocket. The next one was going to carry Alan Shepard up, you know, and this is our big test. Come on out and watch this, right? And, you know, 3, 2, 1, the engine started, and the retracting arm fell away to release a rocket. And then the engine shut down, and then the escape hatch flew off, and the parachute popped out, you know, and this rocket's just sitting there with this deflated parachute hanging on its side, and everyone's, you know, the whole media's there, and it's being broadcast live around the world. They were so embarrassed. And what they found out was it was the result of the plug on the umbilical cable connected to the rocket. They were the same length. Think a two-prong plug turned on its side, so you got up and down instead of left and right. And they were of the same length, so when the rocket started taking off, it would pull that plug out, you know, just from pulling away from it. Well, one prong pulled out 1 microsecond prior to the other one. And the computers on board picked it up like, oh, we got a problem. It didn't disconnect. And the computer says, shut the engines down, right? Because it's thinking it's still on the launch pad, right?
Yeah.
Well, it had lifted up about 2 feet by that time.
Uh-oh. Right?
So, but the computer says, shut the engines down. So it sat back down on the launch pad. And then the altimeter said, oh, engine shut down, which means, well, not the altimeter, but the computer said, oh, the engine's just shut down. So that means we've reached altitude so we can get rid of the escape rocket now. So that thing fires off. And then the altimeter said, oh, we're below the minimum altitude. We got to deploy the parachutes. Poop! And then the parachutes popped up. It was just one thing after another. Could you imagine something like that going wrong when it's connected to the space station and they're firing that rocket to Mars and maybe the clasp didn't release so it fires and it's dragging the space station with them on
the ground? Yeah.
They got to be careful about it. I don't know how they're going to work out with that. I'm sure, you know, that their scientists are way ahead of my lightning fans.
Oh, yeah.
But I could just imagine something hilarious coming out of, you know, I mean, I still remember that. I'm picturing it in my mind as I'm talking about it. It still makes me laugh. See that? It's so funny. You need to YouTube that, the Mercury test launch that went wrong or something, and see and watch it for yourself. And it is hilarious. But
yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, good. Well, it brings up the part about the people that do the space exploration. They got to be incredibly brave people.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah. Yep. You're putting yourself on top of that. I think one of the first Apollo missions, may have been Jim Lovell, was going up there. And he's sitting up there, you know, and they're counting down like 2 minutes to go. And he just keyed up and he said, you do realize that we're sitting on top of, you know, all these tons and tons of highly volatile fuel.
Oh, great.
Trusting in the lowest bidder put this thing together correctly.
Oh, boy.
Pieced together by the lowest bidder out there.
You
know? Yeah. But, yeah, it's definitely a calling because not everyone can handle that stress. Amen. But the rocket they're building to do all this, if I remember seeing this video correctly, it said it's like $2 billion per launch. Per launch!
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be even more powerful than the Apollo Saturn V, which was the most powerful rocket ever made at the time.
Yeah. You know, I know that there was people that were complaining about the space shuttle because it was a $500 million per launch.
Yeah.
You know, and this is four times that. No, so what's the driving force behind it, right? Yeah. Is that they want to do the exploration, you know, and when you look at it, I can't say that this is the exact reason that they're doing it, but the thing is that are they believing that Earth is going to not exist as life now and we need to colonize,
right?
You know, before things are bad? It sure does seem like it is a possibility that this is why they're reaching out in that aspect to try to colonize.
Yeah, amen. Well, as I said, all these things, you know, we need to keep our eye on because the convergence is getting closer and closer and closer together. And that reminds me, speaking of getting closer together, did you see the story about the two satellites traveling about 30,000 miles an hour each and passing within a few meters of each other over Philadelphia just a few weeks ago?
We've talked
before about asteroids and stuff passing within, you know, 25,000 miles of the Earth, and they call that a near miss. What about satellites passing within arm's reach of each other?
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard about microscopic asteroids that will penetrate the shields or solar arrays.
Yeah.
You know, but not two satellites coming so close. That's amazing.
Oh, man. I mean, I couldn't even, you know, you'd think that their computers would have picked up on that and said, okay, let's fire the retro rockets on this one a little bit to move it away.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless they said, "Eh, we'll be all right."
Yeah. Well, what's the chances? You know, like it's a lot of space out there.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And I can't believe that they came that close together. That would have been a travesty, you know, if he had the two highly, yeah, you know, technical pieces of equipment collide with each other.
Yep.
That would be bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, golly. And it was right over Philadelphia. Not that that's where the debris would have fell. I mean, it had been out in the ocean somewhere. But it, yeah, that would have been catastrophic, especially if they were like spy satellites or something that, you know, I mean, good Lord. But I just couldn't. When I seen that, I was like, within feet, not, you know, within, they passed, yeah, within a half mile of each other or something like that, which, okay, yeah, that's close, you know, got to watch it. Feet, I mean, you know, it's like passing a car on the highway. You're 6-8 feet apart.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, man. But what else you got going on? What else have you seen that caught your interest?
Well, getting back to the coronavirus.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so before I say that, though, the thing is that I had to go back and read Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. No?
Yeah.
Because Jesus gives us a really good glimpse of what to expect when we're coming through this. And, of course, now we have the plagues. It's not like that we haven't had the plagues. It's just that the intensity of this locust plague is just off the scale.
Yeah.
You know? And the rains, the continuing rains. And, of course, you got the fires down there in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to bring those up. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's been terrible, and now they got rain on both of their coastlines, the east and west coast. Well, now there's flooding,
yep.
So you have this.
And the fire's going in the middle.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Mm.
You know, and of course, we sent firefighters out there to help, and, you know, the animals died. Are being decimated because, yep, of the fires, and it's horrific. You know, and the loss of the destruction because of the fires is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen a news report that the fires have already started in California already.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is just a couple days ago that they started already, and did a minor evacuation of a town. I mean, and it's still, you know, this is supposed to be their rainy season to keep that stuff at bay. Instead, all the rain's up, like we talked about, by Tacoma and Seattle and all that, and missing, you know, the Southern California area.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a weird weather pattern.
Okay, so let's bring it back around to the coronavirus. And the thing is that we talk about the plagues. There are plagues.
Yeah, sorry about
you
that.
You know, and so we have, you know, we've talked quite a bit about the different signs that are taking place and anything that the human mind is putting themselves to, you know, we can achieve, which is unbelievable. I saw a video the other day about how they have detected a radio wave coming from space, which is not unusual because they have burst. But what's happening is that they have one that repeats every 16 days.
Really?
You know? And they're trying to figure out, okay, is it some kind of like pulsar, you know, is it, you know, so they're in the process of trying to figure that out, and that's a huge thing, you know, but now with the coronavirus, we have something that is affecting human beings, you know, the SARS virus, they were able to overcome, and so with the coronavirus here, this is something that is not going away. As a matter of fact, getting back to that R-naught number, what they are really shocked by is the one guy who came from China and stopped by Switzerland to go skiing and then hopscotched over to France and then went back to England, and that one person they can contribute has affected 11 people.
Mm.
Now, that comes back to that R-naught. The R-naught is that if it's bad, they consider it to be a 4. So that would be is that in the course of your illness, you affected infected 4 people. Well, here you have one person that has infected 11 people. And so now they're starting to talk about a super infector, which is one person that has, you know, the incubation period. They haven't figured out what the incubation period is yet.
Yeah.
You know, they were figuring, okay, 14 is like the standard, but now they're realizing, wait a minute, we got people that are being infected way after they have been in contact with someone, and now they're jumping out as far as 24 days.
Wow.
And so now what they're saying is that, okay, there's no way we're going to contain this. But then they bumped it up to a more serious thing, and I can't remember if it's Beijing or if there was another town they have gone into military quarantine, which means is that this is now serious. You're not going to be confronted by health workers or the police. You're going to be confronted by military if you go outside, you know. And so how do you get your provisions, which comes back to like the masks, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so this is a an odd thing. You know, I like to be prepared, okay? So I do projects around the house, and so at times when I'm doing projects, I use a mask. So I decided, okay, it wouldn't hurt for me to go out and get masks, even though I'll probably use them sometime in the future, okay? So I went over to Walmart. You know, they're sold out.
Wow.
They've been sold out. This was 2 weeks ago. Mm. There's already people buying masks, all right? And and other things to go associated with it, because there's one program that I keep on going back to, and it's called Peak Prosperity with, I can't remember his name. He was a doctor, and he went into financial provisions, changed his businesses, left the doctor provision and went into finances. And when this started happening, he understood this from the inside out. And he started saying, listen, there's no way that this is not going to reach other parts of the world. Get yourself prepared. And so now we're realizing they're doing the best that they can, and it's not happening. So now we're thinking about going back to Matthew 24, where there is no containment. There's no way to contain this, and they don't have when you get shots, you know,
immunization.
Yeah. Okay. So this brings up another thing that's kind of like a little bit of a pet peeve to me. All right. And that is that I was listening to a reporter that was interviewing a restaurant in Chinatown or the international Chinese area, I think in Washington, in Seattle somewhere. Okay. And how the reporter was so upset with people because they were staying away from that area because of the coronavirus, okay? And how this was affecting the man's business. His clientele numbers were way down, and she was kind of siding with him. And I was thinking, wait a minute. You know, you weren't around when the polio thing was going around.
Yeah,
I can remember my mother telling me, don't you go by other kids. You know, you go to school and then you come home. Don't you be going by other kids, because when you got no way to fight it and there is no inoculation, there is times that you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and so this might be that case if it starts spreading. But I'll tell you what, in the United States here, we have resources to be able to help what's going on. In China, they're out of resources, and a lot of people are staying at home. According to these videos, they say that they have more people that are seriously ill at home than they have in the hospitals. And what country builds a 1,000-bed hospital in 9 days?
Right. Yeah, no? I've seen that. I was like, wow, the concrete hasn't even set yet. I mean, you know, they're using that fast drying concrete, which, you know, you're building a multi-story structure with this stuff, you know? I mean, I wouldn't want to, you know, to me, that's another disaster waiting to happen, you know?
Well, and then you have the stadiums and other areas that have big buildings where they have thousands of beds set up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So they are anticipating at the growth, which is now over 60,000. They have confirmed cases. And so now you have a pestilence that has now entered into humanity.
Yep.
You know, and that's another thing that is in Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. So these are all signs. So the thing is that here in the Midwest, I'm looking outside, looking at the snow that just fell the other day, and it's now like really cold, you know. And it's not affecting me here right now. But it is going to be affecting us, because people that aren't working because they're in isolation and quarantine in China have now shut down factories across the world because they don't have auto parts to build their cars, you know, and it's going to be hitting the medicines, because a lot of the medicines come from China. So people aren't producing the medicines. So it's going to affect the supply for medicines throughout the world. No, and it's going to ripple. It is going to ripple.
Yep.
To us sooner or later, which comes down to why I like to share with people that are in the listening audience that there are things that they can do when they have questions. And that's why we're going to put links down at the bottom of this interview, because if people have questions, there are chat links that they can go to and someone will talk to them. The purpose is that if you are saved, that to come as close to the Lord as you can for his provisions. You know, I like Psalms 91. I want to be underneath the shadow of his wing. Mm-hmm. No, and we need to be under the shadow of his wing, especially during these times, because sooner or later, it's going to hit us. It's going to hit our families. Mm-hmm. No. And so there are chat links down there where they can go in there, like God exists, you know, there's things that they can look at for that and then talk to somebody, or need him, you know, .org, where they can get a hold of somebody to talk to there. There are people around the world that come into these things with questions, you know, and I like it because I don't have to leave my home. I just log in and I can chat with somebody in the English-speaking world, you know, and so and able to share the gospel or help them get closer to the Lord. And we are going to need that. This is what you and I have been trying to do is just to say, hey, look at now's the time to prepare.
Because once everything, once the catastrophe hits, it's too late for preparation.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be prepared going into it. You know, well, that's just, you know, doomsday talk and all that. But read the Bible. You know? Read the end of the book. It's not going to be fun and games when, you know, oh, thank you, Jesus. No, the Christians will be gone, and those that are left behind are going to be facing all of this stuff. On their own, without God.
Yeah.
It is not going to be fun.
What's one of the really big signs? I saw it the other day, yesterday I saw it, and it was an article about the Pope and the Islamic leader making a covenant to begin a one-world religion.
Of course.
No?
When have we heard that before?
If that's not enough to shake you, I mean, this is like getting really serious.
Yeah.
No?
Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Tom, I can't believe we're out of time already. It seems like every time we get together to have a discussion, I think the convergence accelerates the clock speed or something. I mean,
I still got a couple thousand words to use up. What do you mean?
Well, okay. summarize it.
Yeah. Get ready.
Oh, man. Tom, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
I have a ministry page on Facebook that is called Healing the Nation Ministries. I have a lot of things posted there. The dreams that the Lord's been giving me the last couple of days have been interesting. And so they can reach me there or my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. And if you wanted to talk, or if someone wanted to talk with someone about questions of faith, you talked about the links for chataboutjesus.com. What is that about?
Oh, yeah. I go into the queue, and when I'm in the queue, I log in, and I can see which website they're coming from. And so when they have questions, chat about Jesus, that's the purpose. They come in. And you know what's surprising is that 50% of the people coming in are Christians already. First of all, you know, when somebody says that they have been a Christian all their life, okay, that's a red flag because that's not true. Mm-hmm. All right. You have to make a decision at some point in time. So I go through that. But the thing is that there are a lot of lukewarm people out there, you know, and things are starting to shake them. And so that's the thing is that I try to help them get into a close relationship with the Lord. And I usually share prayers with them, which is in one of the books that I've written, Spiritual House Cleaning, the purpose to close doors to evil and to open up doors to God, because that's what we need on a huge scale right now. Mm-hmm. You know, be able to see the goodness of God invade our lives, our families, our communities. No, so that the darkness can be dispelled. So these chat links and will connect you with godly people, and we'll be able to answer your questions and pray with you.
Amen. And I'll be putting a link to all of your contact information and those chat links, you know, doesgodexist.org, all that down in the show notes below. But we didn't even get a chance to talk about your books today. Tell us real quickly about some of your books and how they can get them.
Well, they're available on Amazon. And so I have links provided, but here is the fascinating thing. I know that there is stuff in Healing the Nation. That's why I wrote it. You know, and right now we are seeing the evidence of one of the things that the Lord had showed me in 2010 is that elitists took over. And when the elitists took over, mass slavery took place.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing now is this fight. The elitists are fighting for control of the population. You can't escape it. It's so visible. It's so much before our eyes.
Yep.
And the Lord had showed me more than 90 dream experiences where things that had gone bad for the United States. And the first one was elitism taking over, but I have seen other things where our hedge of protection was down and we were invaded by other countries.
Yeah.
And so that is a scary thing. So we have some serious things hanging in the balance, and all of that is defined in Healing the Nation. Plus, let's get out of our lukewarmness and get serious. You know, that's in there too. And then spiritual house cleaning is just the prayers to help get a person moving closer to the Lord. And then I have in there pastors in the presence of God, which is to help a pastor receive the presence. Now, how can I do that, right? Amen. And the only reason that I can do that is because in 2006, the Lord showed me this is a gift, and I am giving you guardianship over this gift, and you can give it out to people for them to be able to receive it, you know, depending upon where their heart is. So that has been a real heavy thing on my heart, and I've been working for years to share that message. Mm. That's book number three. Now, book number four is 7:14, Angels on Assignment. And what this book is that 2 Chronicles 7:14, I will say, is a formula. Now, you can't pin God down. He goes way out of his way to make sure that there isn't something that is a repeating cycle, okay? But 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a formula. You put these four things into effect, and this book is about a pastor who was seriously ill, and if he didn't get the ear of God, he was going to die. Yeah. And he started implementing these things in this verse, and God showed up and healed him, and that was 10 years ago. And so he has been living, you know, and ministering ever since. So that's the fourth book. And the fifth book is One Door Between Us, which I decided people like stories.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I was in a library one time for Author's Day in my local library, and it hit me. There's like 10,000 or more books in here, you know, and a lot of them are story form. People like stories. So I decided that I was going to write a story, and that's how that book was birthed. And it is about a lady pastor who has started a healing ministry, but God was active supernaturally in her life and her family very early on. And it's an absolutely amazing story. So what I did is I took the outline of her life and then I created a story around it. And right now I'm working on book number six, which is her associate pastor and how God did the same thing, intervened in her life very early. So that's the long, long way around of defining what the books are.
Amen, amen. And I'll be putting links to all those down in the show notes as well, plus all the YouTube videos we referenced today. I'll put links down there so people can see what exactly we are talking about.
Amen. Okay, we're giving homework.
That's right. Amen. Folks, you need to get in touch with Tom Donnan. I mean, not only is he a great source for current events as they relate to Bible prophecy, he's a great author, too. I've read all of his books. Amen. And they're awesome. You need to go down below in the links down below in the show notes and check out some of his books and buy them, share them. They are going to educate you. They're going to motivate you. They're going to inspire you. And they're all designed to do one thing. That's bring you closer to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Tom, thank you again for coming on the program today. I do appreciate your time, buddy.
Oh, thank you very much. We always have fun, and I enjoy these conversations.
I know, and time seems to go so fast. Golly. But, folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine
Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.